Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. If you haven't heard about it, Walk and Talk Podcast is the official podcast for Restaurant Events LLC. They own the New York Restaurant Show, California Restaurant Show, Florida Restaurant Show, and the Pizza Tomorrow Summit. We are, of course, over the moon and super excited about this partnership. The stakes get higher as we move into this trade show space with restaurant events and also the U.S. Culinary Open at NAFM, and we are ready. Folks, stay tuned. On today's show, we have an incredible guest, Christian Barús Brenz, a 21-year-old culinary rising star from Miami, and that is our hometown. Christian's journey began at just 16 when he turned his passion for baking into a business to support his family during his mother's battle with cancer. Now, he's not only a culinary student at the Miami Culinary Institute, but also the owner of Chef Christian LLC, catering for major events across the city. His talents have taken him beyond the kitchen as he won a cooking competition in Colombia, which I think is so cool. We're going to get into that too. That boosted his confidence and led to him working behind the scenes on a mini movie that actually won 2 Emmys. Later today, John and I will be cooking up some fun chicken dishes. It's just me and him in house today doing our thing. Follow our IG for photos and video at Walk and Talk Show. Let's welcome Chef Christian to the program. Christian, how are you, my man?
Hello, I'm doing phenomenal. What a tremendous introduction. It's what an honor to be here.
Thank you very much. You know, you put out some really good stuff too. And at some point, we need to coordinate getting you here in studio up in Tampa. And like, let's make some content, man. Like, we have video and, you know, food photography, the whole nine yards.
I'm down. Let's do it. I'm ready to bring that sazón up there in Tampa.
I'm super excited about it. I want to get into this because your story is very interesting. You're a young guy and you've experienced a lot of positive things in spite of having adversity thrown at you. You've come a long way in a short period of time. And I think a lot of this starts with, you know, your mom's journey with cancer and how that kind of drove you. Can you get into how that pushed you into culinary?
Of course, yes. Yeah. So it all started when I was 16 years old, a sophomore in high school, when I got the news that my mother had two cancers at the same time, diagnosed with two cancers, breast and thyroid cancer. And that moment was shocking for me. But I did not let that moment in life affect me. I actually turned that negative to a positive. I started learning how to cook pastries, cookies, brownies, sweets, to sell at school, and some snacks as well. They called me the duffel man kid in class, where I had a duffel bag and I was selling sweets for a dollar in class. And I was not able to do that in class because, you know, I have to do it very low key, but I had to do it for purposes for my mother. And that is my why. You know, so a lot of people ask, you know, what is your why? And my mother is my why. And honestly, that really changed my perspective in life in two different aspects, right? In becoming an entrepreneur and learning my passion, which is cooking. I started with sweets, now, you know, savory. And that really drove me into thinking, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to learn how to cook, but turn that into a business too in the future. And that's how, you know, the culinary world kind of opened up for me. So my mom is very strong. She is a warrior and she's my rock. And I'm very blessed that she's still with us today and helping us. And actually, she's my momager. So she's actually helping me a lot every single way. She's like my best friend. So I'm very blessed for that.
I really do appreciate your positive vibe. Your outlook is tremendous. And I, you know, I'm sure you hear this, but I want to make sure that you know that, you know, John and I both agreed when we decided to reach out and get you on the show that, like, you're special kind of a fella, and I'm glad you're here, and God bless.
Yes, thank you. No, God is great.
So in your sophomore year, you're out there hustling baked goods. You're in Miami. You're the duffel man. Like, you must have raised a lot of eyebrows doing that.
Yes, I have actually. So in the beginning, in sophomore year, keep in mind, this was 2020. This was the COVID quarantine year as well. So it was two different sides of it. The first 6 months, I was in school selling, and it was phenomenal. Honestly, it was like, it was a long line. I had to go to the bathrooms, and there was a line waiting for me outside of the bathroom doors. And I used to sell in the bathroom stall. And it was quick transactions, and I was the only one with the duffel bag that had a, believe it or not, on my phone, I had a little mini POS. So the kids could really tap and scan their card. And they used to, like, it was crazy. And I had someone every single day buying for me and spending at least $60 a month on me. And that's just one person. I had other regular customers. And that was one of the crazy experiences. Luckily, I didn't get caught because, again, I couldn't sell in school. But it was for a purpose. Everybody knew it was for a purpose, and they already supported me, and I'm very blessed for that. But that was one of the craziest stories, because going every day to the bathroom and you see a full line of people, and it raised some eyebrows, but luckily it didn't get to the administration of the school, so I didn't get caught. But, you know, it was crazy. And then sell out before lunch. I sell out in 3 hours, and I used to bring around 200-300 items, and I used to sell everything for a dollar back then, and now everything went up. But that comes to show you that, you know, I do anything to support and try to grind. I'm a hustler. So then after that, once quarantine happened, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And then an idea popped up in my head. I'm like, let me transition this into Uber Eats. So I signed up for Uber Eats and did everything in my kitchen, in my house kitchen. And back then, I mean, I was able to do that because I didn't really know about the regulations and the I had to get a DPR. I was a kid. I was trying to hustle for my mom, man. I had pretty much started my, I guess, ghost kitchen in my house. And I had Uber drivers line up from across the street from my block to my house, getting the orders out to the customers, because I used to start selling it in my bicycle. But then I was like, I can't. These miles are racking up and the deliveries are going to be late and I'm going to be tired. And my bicycle had no brakes. So I was like, let's start doing the Uber Eats and having Uber drivers deliver the goodies to my customers and my friends. And it was really good. And then, you know, once I raised enough money, I was like, let me focus on school, because it's time for me to head in my junior year and senior year to graduate and, you know, get good grades. And luckily, I passed all my exams. I graduated with a good GPA, and I got a scholarship for culinary school. So I believe everything turned out pretty good, and it was worth, you know, hustling and then back to, like, you know, studying. And yeah, but that's one of the craziest stories, honestly. Like, imagine you going to the bathroom and you seeing a full line of people with their money out ready, and they're like, what is going on? And, you know, it's crazy.
When I was in middle school, at that time, my father was a jeweler, and he used to manufacture jewelry. So what I used to do at, you know, 16, 15, whatever it was, I would go to school with a briefcase. And in the briefcase, I would have bracelets, chain, all that stuff. This is back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I got to tell you, it was great. You know, my nickname was the jeweler, and that's what the kids called me. I used to do nameplates and everything. It was an interesting time. Obviously, I did get caught, and they, you know, it was ugly, you know, but I already created a reputation for myself at that time. So I really do appreciate that story. I identify with it undoubtedly. What is your biggest takeaway from getting into the Miami Culinary Institute? How is that shaping your cooking style?
Wow. Yeah. The Miami Culinary Institute first is, you know, it's one of the best culinary institutes here in Miami. I'm just very blessed and honored to receive a scholarship from there. 2 years ago, when I was 19, I received a scholarship, and I was like, okay, I'm going to learn, take advantage of all these different opportunities that the college, that Miami-Dade College provides me. Two, I'm going to take advantage as well that I have a scholarship. I don't have to pay a single cent. Culinary school is expensive. Culinary school is super expensive. So I'm honored to have that paid for. So why not turn that into a business? Here's my business mindset. My first week of culinary school, I took the time to study my recipes. Because, you know, you get your recipes, you learn the basics, and you practice them, right, in the school. What I did was say, okay, let me practice those at home, but add my own twist to it and feed it to my family. I call it a focus group, where I have minimum 6 people in my house, and I serve them 3-course menus, restaurant style, and pretty much, you know, serve them to them. And I post it, I take a picture, and I add that to my portfolio. What I did not know I was doing back then is setting me up for the future for my business. Because back then, I was not really good at social media. But something told me, is like, you should post these videos of you cooking. Let's see what would happen. Thank God I did, because now, if I didn't post these projects, these focus groups that I was doing every single week, I would not get these opportunities out and from social media, because social media plays a big role now in general, and this like in general, and especially when it comes to being a chef in an industry, you need to get your name out there, and one way is by social media. So what I did was, every single 2 weeks, I get a menu, I make it my own, I practice that in the school, I practice that offsite, which is in my house, and I deliver that into the focus group. Started out with 6 people, 8 people, 10, 15, and 30 people. And now I'm getting calls from my family members like, hey, we want you to cook Thanksgiving. Hey, I want you to cook Christmas. I'm like, oh, this is fun. I love it. And I practice like that. And honestly, when it comes to the social media aspect, I started posting these videos, and then people are reaching out to me, hey, can you private chef for this? For me, this is, I'm like, oh my God, I could do that. Oh my God, this is happening. Then I received a call from a casting from Colombia, and they told me, we want you to be on a TV show, Everything Paid For. At first, I thought that was a scam. I told them, give me 1 second. I'm going to send you my manager's phone number, which is my mother. And I call him, hey, mom, can you act like my manager so we can see if this is real or not? And then my mom was like, this is real. Let's go to Colombia. And then the rest is history. Those are the opportunities I've received in the beginning, just for just posting my passion. It's all about connecting my passion to that social media, actually, and then it will just start to grow. I didn't know at first I could really do it, but people from social media supported me, supported my vision, supported my passion, supported what I love to do, which is cooking, and all connecting my story, my roots in that plate. It's phenomenal.
I think that you're a 45-year-old man trapped in a, 20-year-old body. That's what I think, 21-year-old body. Because what you're, the things you're saying and what you're, how you're executing, you're further down the road than most people your age. So congratulations to you on that. You need to know that.
Wow. Thank you. This is the first time I'm hearing 45, because I have people tell me I'm like 26, 27, but 45. Wow.
On your execution, you're talking like you've been doing this for 25 years is what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. Wow. That gives me chills.
Cafecito brownie. I know that holds a special place to you in your heart. Oof. How did you come up with that? I need you to give the how and the why.
Cafecito brownie, the two-time award-winning signature cafecito brownie, started off after my mother was diagnosed with breast and thyroid cancer. I was in the motion of selling my brownies. Then my father passed away suddenly, like unexpectedly. That was another obstacle in life that I had to go through. I turned everything that's negative to a positive, like I discussed earlier. And I pretty much turned that moment into as a way of trying to build something new and an homage to my father. I told my mom after it happened, I said, "Hey, mom, I'm gonna be in the kitchen. Don't talk to me. Let me cook something honorable for my father, my late father." And then the cafecito brownie was born. Why did I do that? Because my father, every single morning, used to take me to a cafeteria, a cafe, next to my house with two croquetas, and a Cuban coffee. And I'm not lying to you, I started drinking Cuban coffee since I was 5 years old. And then at 6, 7 years old, I was making my own coffee for my father and for my family. At a pretty young age. From that moment, that brownie was super unique, but it was unique for me because it was a symbol for my late father, because my father loved Cuban coffee. It means it's very special to me. So from that moment, it was a bestseller, but I did not know it was going to win 2 awards for 2 big festivals here in Miami. The number one dessert in that festival against 40 different chefs. And I was the only culinary student there. And going against these big dogs, big professional chefs here in Miami, it was very, very, a lot of pressure, because I'm the new kid on the block. And I won it twice. And that pretty much come to show that anybody wants to get in this industry, to never give up and to keep going and stick to their passion, because you never know what could happen. And always be confident with their dishes. That's what I would always tell students that are first starting off in culinary school. Like, hey, be confident with your dish, because that's going to take you far away. I remember back then I was not confident with my dishes. But now I shifted that into like, I'm confident. That cafecito brownie is a symbol and example to that. And it won 2 awards, and I'm very blessed. And now we're trying to, expand the cafecito brownies to different places, like different hospitality groups and hotels. And I really want to build that brand, that cafecito brownie, because it's a very unique product. I got to bring you guys some cafecito brownies up when I get up there.
We're staring at each other, John and I, as you're talking about this. The story is amazing, number one. Number two, we're from Miami, John's half Cuban. At the end of the day, I'm married to a Cuban. At the end of the day, you're speaking the language to us. And we were, you probably want to drop something off in the mailbox today. I'm just saying,
Yeah. So what makes that brownie different is that I believe if it's cakey, it is not a brownie. It is a cake. What makes my brownie different is the brownie is ooey gooey, nice and fudgy, but just firm enough to pass to a brownie. And it's infused with a delicious Cuban coffee, right? And on top is top it up with a crema chantilly cream, and then topped with a signature cafecito drizzle, which is a delicious cafecito ganache that I made and I trademarked too, because I'm planning on selling sauces, you know, in the future, because I believe that sauce can go on anything, ice cream, waffles, you name it. And that's like, you could turn anything into a delicious cafecito bite, you know? And then top it off with some delicious, crispy chocolate bites to add that texture, Wonderland, I like to call it. Because I believe there's two sides when it comes to cooking or product, right? Or cooking in general, is the flavor and the texture side. Not that many people talk about the texture side. When I wanted to make a dish, that brownie, I was like, let's add everything to it. It's about the experience, the story, the flavor, the background. And that's why I believe I won those two awards, because people connected with that, with my vision that I was trying to put on that plate.
So amen. No, man. Wait a minute. Amen to that. And I mean this. I'm serious. You need to send us something here, because we'll take pictures of it. We're going to eat it up. Obviously we want you here too. How did winning the cooking competition in Colombia change your vibe as a chef? And did it open any unexpected doors for you?
Oh, yes. So from those, so when I was doing the focus groups, that was one of the calls that I received. And the cooking show is called Batalla en Abuela's Kitchen. Pretty much is a phenomenal concept, a reality cooking TV show, which is abuelas, which is grandmas versus Gen Z. Obviously, I'm the Gen Z. And pretty much it was a cooking show where we had to cook against the grandmas. And it's all currently is on Roku right now, streaming for free. And I got flown out to Colombia. And it was a great experience. First, it was for 5 days. The altitude in Colombia is ridiculous. I think they knew that they wanted me to wait 3 days to get used to the altitude, because the first 2 days I was throwing up. Won't lie to you. I didn't want to eat anything. I was like sick because the altitude is crazy. I was like, what is going on? I don't know if I'm going to win this competition. What is going on? And then my mom was right there next to me. She's like, relax. You got this. I was like, yeah, but my stomach hurts.
What part of Colombia were you in?
Oh, yeah. The beautiful city of Bogota. Bogota, it's phenomenal. I love the culture there. I love Colombian food. We have it here all the time in Miami, but something over there is different. Over there, having it there with the culture, the music, the people, it's a whole different vibe. And it's cheap. The plate is $6. Over here is $20. Everything there is cheap. I was like, this is phenomenal. But I did love it. Everything was great. But then the third day, I was feeling good. And that's when I got the production, the producer, and we were ready for you to shoot the show. We got to a VIP minivan. We went to a big production studio where they film all these movies. And I was like, this is the life I want to be in. Like, this is phenomenal. This TV life, the movie life, this industry, this is what I want to do. Because I love to share my story, my personality in TV and general what I like to do. Because I believe I have that power that I could do that. And I love it. So I got in. And then keep in mind, this is all Spanish. And my Spanish, back then was not as good as it is today. It's a little bit better today. But this was all Spanish. So I was nervous out of the gates. Nervous. There was a lot of pressure on me because I am an upcoming chef, culinary student, first year. You have to learn and talk and speak a lot of Spanish to be on that show. I just tried my best. I used Duolingo, right? I tried my best to really make this work, because I don't believe in, like, I don't want any excuses. I just want to just try my best. This was like a whole production team. It was a big team. Very, very blessed. Shout out. I want to give a shout out to Monica Casting. She's the one that casted me, my first ever my first ever show. And she really, she's phenomenal. So, boom, I got in there. It was keep in mind, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. shoot. So my first time ever, 16-hour shoot, it taught me a lot. It gave me the most pressure ever. I was literally shaking, like legit shaking, when I was cutting up those bell peppers to make a sofrito. And it was crazy. And because there was a lot of cameras on me, they have bright lights. My first round, there was two rounds, right? The first one against the three Gen Zs. I was cooking Mexican food. I made fajitas. I got selected fajitas. I had to get a box, and I selected a paper, and it said, you have to cook fajitas. And I love fajitas. You know, I had them in Chili's multiple times. I kind of know what a little bit of fajitas are. So what made my fajitas different? I made it with chicken and steak, and I infused pineapple and deglazed it with brandy. Mm. So that's my little, yeah, that the sweet and salty give it that extra kick of flavor. I was like, let me flambe this pineapple. And then it got a little oohs and ahs in the production in the back. And they're like, wow, this is different. It's like, I like to think outside the box and be very creative and try to stick to my roots and my Caribbean and my Latin roots. And I believe I'm kind of strong with that, right? And then, boom, I won that first round. And my advantage was that the next round, everybody has to use a pacifier, but not me. Because I'm able to taste my food because I won the first round. So everybody in the last 5 minutes are like, all right, time to put their pacifier on. And everybody couldn't taste their food. And I was like, oh, I'm going to take advantage of this. So I served myself a plate and I tasted it. And the cameras, you'll see in the TV show, the cameras were watching and I was dancing. I was like, oh, okay, Rico. And it was funny. You know, it was a fun moment. That last round was Cuban food. I'm like, oh, I got this. Cuban food. I live in Hialeah. This is Cuba. Like, this is literally I literally was raised in Cuba, technically, but in Hialeah. Honestly, I was around Cuban food all the time. So Hialeah is where I'm actually living. I love Hialeah. It's a great city. The best of the best. The city of progress. Cuban food is always in my area. So I love Cuban food, and I got selected Bistec de la Palomilla, which is a steak. Yeah. That dish is fire. Steak dish. Now, I, believe it or not, when I got that dish, I was like super confident, but very nervous that I selected the wrong part of the steak. Steak, I didn't know I was supposed to pound it out and tenderize it so I can make it tender. So I just, me being me, I was nervous, and I just cooked it normal, and it was very tough. And what I did was I had time. So I got some onions. I deglazed it with some red wine so it could give it that extra kick of flavor. And then I made a salad on the side with a delicious mango dressing. Then on the plate was rice, which is a moro rice, which is red, black beans and white rice mixed together with the steak and the caramelized onions with that, red wine reduction. Then I made some delicious crispy plantain chips so it can give that added texture on top, and a cilantro sauce. Oh, that dish was good, but it was difficult because the judges were making it seem that it was bad. Because those judges were good. They were making me see I was going to lose. I was like, oh my God. And they're like, the steak is kind of tough, but the flavor is delicious. And then everybody else cooked a different dish from Cuba. Someone did ropa vieja, some did vaca frita. Everybody had some flaws. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a difficult choice. And then I got on the stage and they announced my name. And I was like, oh my God. I was shaking. I won a belt with a chancleta in the middle. Obviously, I didn't get to keep it because they had it. And that was actually like the last day of filming the whole show. But I'm on the second episode. So yeah, I won the show.
Explain how winning that show segued into you getting snagged up into a mini movie that got two Emmys.
Oof, that's a great question. Yeah, so from that same, well, first of all, after winning, I celebrated with my family. I actually cooked the winning dishes to my family in my house. I hosted a mini party. And from that, really build up my confidence and to be like, you know what? this is what I want to do. I love being on TV, but now I want to be on TV, you know, with more, but like more production, more of a task. And then I got the same call from the same casting. They told me, hey, he's doing a mini movie. It's very impactful. We want you to become the behind the scenes chef for the movie. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I want. I want to do this. And it was like, yeah, it's going to be 30 days, 30 days straight. It's a science type of like educational learning, but it ties up into a story. Pretty much, I'll give a rundown of the story. It's, first of all, it's called the movie, the mini movie is called La Fuerza de Creer, Dulce Sazón, right? And pretty much that story is about, it's first was a Dominican / Mexican family. And that really like ties into my roots from the Dominican. My parents are from the Dominican Republic. I was born here, raised in Miami. So that story is a phenomenal story. I love it because it ties really well with me. And so that story pretty much is a young lady that her family runs a fast casual restaurant, and she wants to go to New York to culinary school. And she comes back and starts to switch the whole restaurant around because she learned from culinary school. And you see the progression from how the fast casual restaurant starts to elevate their own menu items and turn into a very successful fine restaurant that serves, you know, better dishes than before. So, and then the story goes online with the science actually of the different things and the educational purposes. And that's how we won two Emmys. Obviously, it was not me by myself. It was a big production team, a huge team when it comes to the art department, when it comes to the casting, when it comes to the actresses. Everybody played a big role. And I was very blessed to be part of a small role, small task. But it was a big task, but it was part of a big team. And I was, you know, right there into it. And that was ridiculous, honestly. 30 days straight cooking. So what I pretty much did was two different jobs. The first thing was I had to teach the actors how to properly cook and hold knives and act like you're cooking. Because now it's one thing I could teach you how to cook, but teaching you how to act to cook is kind of difficult at first. But I was like, let me do this. I got this. Let's do it. I taught them how to properly cut julienne of peppers, red peppers, and I was actually in the movie. My hands were in the movie because I had to cut with my fast knife skills because I love to cut. That's the first thing I learned how to do at 17 years old, learning how to cut like properly. And that's what they do in the opening scenes, that I actually use my hands, and that was me cutting and stuff. Then other big task, some very important one, was me cooking all the food that had to be displayed on screen. And that kind of made me like better at my presentation, because it's like I'm trying to make this very, very pretty as possible. And as well, it tastes good too. There was one day I had to make 30 different burgers because they had to shoot them and then throw them away, shoot them and throw them away. And the kitchen that we used, it was, you know, the old kitchen. So whatever I cooked there, it was not edible because it was safety sanitation and et cetera. That was an experience on its own. And then every day was a different dish I had to cook. And then every 2 weeks we had to switch to a different location. So it was a big task. Obviously I got paid for it, thank God, but it was not about the money. It was all about the experience. At 19 years old, doing that, it's an honor, it's a privilege to do that, because they could have chose any other chef, but they chose me.
And at the end of it, you got two Emmys. Like, you're part of that team. Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that was shocking to me because I didn't really know that we were able to get awards. I thought this was just a project and then that's it. No, this was a big production. This was like, we got two Emmys and we got other mini awards too. And I actually, after we did the project, I got invited to do some TV bits from Univision and Telemundo and the red carpet. I got invited to their screening the red carpet. And then this is when everybody's starting to, you know, I walked in the red carpet and everybody was like, who, you know, who are you? Like, oh, I'm the chef that made the food. And I was like, oh, wow. And then, you know, I got some pictures taken and then some interviews. And like, this is what I like to do. Oh, my God, look at this. And like, this is my first time walking in a red carpet and people were taking pictures of me. Oh, my God, that was cool. And I got on Getty Images, I think. Getty Images. That was my first time. I was like, wow, this is what I want to do. Like, this is. I want to be on this TV industry. Like, I love this. This is great because I love to interact with people. And this is all in Spanish, by the way. This is all in Spanish. That was like one of the best projects we've done. And I'm very blessed to see what's the store next. Now I'm really want to transition into a English, you know, style. I want to, you know, speak more English and get to the network style. Like, hopefully one day I get to be on Food Network and speak and like be that TV chef. Like, I want to be there up there. Like, I feel like I have the energy, I have the power, I have the story, I have the connection, but time will tell.
Being Chef Christian, man, I don't know, man, it sounds like a wild ride. I want to shift gears. You mentioned wanting to start a foundation. What kind of projects are you excited about? What are you looking to get into?
Oh, my mom always taught me to always give back and to impact as much as possible every single day. So I was like, let me turn that into a foundation once obviously I get the capital. So every quarter, I like to pretty much give back. And with my company, I like to give a certain percentage to the different foundations I work in here in Miami. About 4 to 5 different foundations and nonprofits. I give away my time and my food so we could impact and help people in need that needs food. And not just only food, like essentials like toothpaste, toothbrushes, clothes, different type of things that they could, you know, get through the day and through the week. So, because I believe that, you know, I like to give back. That's one thing I love to do. But I love to really, you know, have someone smile from just eating our food. And we know that the food waste is a lot of food waste, but I'm trying to reduce a little bit and give some back to people that needs it. So that's what I like to do. So for my foundation, I want like to start in a few years when I have the capital. The foundation name is called Sin Frenos, which is no brakes, because I did not have any brakes on my bicycle when I was giving brownies and selling brownies to my customers and family members with the bike that had no brakes. And pretty much is, you know, it's called No Brakes. It's me donating food to the homeless and to different charities and different nonprofits. And that's kind of what I have an idea for now. But obviously, with the years come by, it might switch up. But that's what I want to do, because I believe that it's important to give back and impact your community no matter what.
Listen, let me tell you something. John and I are just looking at each other over here as you're talking. So we want to be a part of whatever it is that you're doing with your foundation. And, you know, perhaps we can even help drum up some cash to get that going too. We can talk about that off air, man. We're really compelled to want to be a part of something like that.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Christian, looking ahead, I know you have big plans. You have big dreams. You want to expand in media. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
I love this question because, you know, it's all about thinking ahead and what's next for the future. So I believe that I would love to expand my catering company, my food cart business, and my smash burger concept. That's the three things in the beginning at first. Then more towards the line, I want to see myself in big TV platforms where I get to really show off my personality and my, you know, my creativity, my story, and how I can connect to people with just me, with me, my food, and my dish, right? And then from there, I'll hopefully get to start my own foundations and helping the people, and et cetera. That's what I really want to do, and it's just expanding my brand and all in one. And that's what I want to do in these next 5 years.
I usually ask this question to older, more matured chefs in the industry. But you know what? Where you are, I'm going to ask you anyway. If you could share a piece of advice with young peers your peers starting out, what would it be?
Don't wait for perfect. Start what you have and pour all your heart into it, because this industry will test you. So you remember why you started and let your roots keep you grounded and always stay humble. Because the kitchen is a place of learning, no matter how far you come.
And you have to love it too, right?
Oh, yeah. You have to love it. You have to love what you're doing. That's your passion.
And I feel like I get the, you know, for the audience who are listening, I have to believe that you're picking up the emotion and vibe that I'm hearing over the phone. And I know you love it. I feel it. Chef, how do people find you?
Yes, you guys can find me in all social media platforms at Chef Christian LLC.
Oh, my goodness. When are you coming up here to visit? When? I don't want to. I need a date today. I want you to bring the brownies. Like, we got a lot of filming to do. We got a lot of stuff to do, man. We got a lot of stuff to do. I'm just, oh, yes, just saying it like that.
Yes, yes. I really want to go up after I graduate, once April 26th, maybe May-ish, May, perfect, June, around the summer. I believe that would be perfect because that's what I have. I don't have school. And I love to cook you guys up some delicious savory food. And, of course, my cafecito brownies. I got you guys.
I love it. I love it, my man. Listen, we're coming up on that hard break. You are an amazing guy. Can't wait for you to get up here. We are going to do a lot of stuff together. Chef, thanks for being on. John, you're awesome as well. We are out.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.